Since we are talking about the sons of Zadok, in these few days, which is really very important, especially the brothers will be sharing concerning that portion in the book of Ezekiel. Yet in the evening, I'm very open to supplement, and especially to share concerning the offerings, which we all need to know.
Amen. Very good.
I just couldn't get away from this burden in the last few months, because it is very basic and yet very important. A lot of people know Christ only as the Savior and maybe as our life. But really, to enter into the depths and the real meaning and the riches of this Christ, it is impossible if you don't see Christ as all of these offerings. Brother Sam shared concerning 1 Peter this morning. We started with 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 5. In the last 50 years, I can testify, the Lord really showed us the vision concerning the church life. And I think a lot of truth concerning the church was made clear to us, and it became very precious to many of us at that time. I think Mary was there in Los Angeles in the early years. We love Christ and the church.
Amen.
And all the saints at that time saw the vision and gave themselves in a very practical way. But that kind of consecration and experience lasted only for maybe 4 years. And then again, we got distracted. I say we because I was in the church life at that time. I don't want to say others got distracted. You know, no. We are one people. We are the church. And we are part of the church. Right. So I always like to include myself. We were distracted. Not to blame anyone, but just to show you that it's so easy to be distracted.
Yeah, that's right.
And the enemy is always there.
Yeah.
As long as you give him a little opening, he's going to take advantage of it. It's a warfare. That's why the Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades cannot prevail. That doesn't mean that the gates of Hades is not going to try. He has been trying hard for the last 2,000 years, and in a way, quite successful. Right, turning God's wonderful purpose, the churches, the golden lampstand, into a big, monstrous Roman Catholicism. Wow, that must be really... it's quite a job to do that. And he did it. And it went on for almost 1,500 years. Well, beginning in the 6th century to the 16th century, 1,000 years in darkness. You know, you should be impressed by that. Don't just take it as history. You need to know what the devil is doing. You know, in order to be faithful to God, you have to know what is going on. You cannot be faithful to him if you don't know what's going on and what is in his heart, if you don't know his plan, if you don't know what he's doing, if you don't care at all what he's doing, then how on earth are you going to be faithful to him? I can only be faithful to you and then show that faithfulness only if I know what is in your heart and what you want to do. Right. The Lord said one word in John 14 that has always been very impressive to me. He said, if any man loves me, he will keep my word. So many people say they love the Lord and I love the Lord, but they don't care about what God says. They don't care. They just love the Lord. I remember talking to an elderly lady. I was much younger than when I was in Germany. She said, "Oh, it's good enough to love the Lord." I said, "I'm not against that. But how do you love the Lord? How do you show me you love the Lord?" "Oh, just love the Lord. I love the Lord." I said, "But how do I know you love the Lord? And how do you know I love the Lord?" So I showed this elderly lady John 14. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word."
Amen.
I said, "That's what it says. So you tell me, how do you love them? Just love with an emotional love?" Right. So she didn't have anything to say. But similarly, in the same principle, if you want to be faithful to God, anyone who is faithful to God, you have to show that you're faithful to God, right? But if I say, "I'm faithful to him," okay, how? I have to do what he says.
Yes.
I have to obey what he says. Mm-hmm. The Lord came to this earth as the faithful witness. Amen. You know, he did everything 100% according to the will of the Father. Can you imagine that? Never for once did he do anything out of himself. But everything he did, he came to fulfill the word of God. His whole life was like that. And then he really is qualified to be called the faithful witness. He didn't do anything else.
Amen.
If the Father doesn't do it, he did. So today, in order to be faithful, like the sons of Zadok, or like Zadok, the priest, you need that kind of a life. So it's not just, okay, I decide to be faithful. I want to be faithful, so I try to be faithful. No, you need that kind of life.
Amen.
To be faithful. Mm-hmm. Just like the building here, we talked about a building here this morning a little bit, mentioned this verse. "You also, as living stones." This is already a problem. Not just stones, but living stones. You have to be full of life. You have to be alive. If you're not living, and living, I'm not saying active. You're very active. No, living is you're alive. You're full of life. If you're living, even if you're sleeping, you're living. Right? Are you only alive when you're in Tyco, you're working in the office? At home, you're alive. Even if you're sleeping, you're breathing, you're alive. You're living. You're not dead. You're alive. Even if you're not doing anything, you're alive. Right? We need to be such Christians who are alive.
Amen.
Always connected.
Amen.
To the Lord.
Right. Amen.
You breathe even when you're sleeping, because you're alive. You know, we Christians must be those who live Christ. For Paul, it doesn't matter what he's doing. He lives Christ. Yes. Amen. Even if he's working by Christ. You put him in prison, he still lives Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
You persecute him, he's the same, he lives Christ. This is the kind of life.
Amen.
If we're not like that, you can know all the doctrines concerning building. Uh-huh. There's no building, I guarantee you. I've seen a person who always talks about building for years, 70, 80 years, talks about building. But he himself has not been built up with anybody. Keep on changing co-workers, firing this and firing the old ones, using the young ones, then change the young ones again, get the old ones back. How can you do that? You change pillars every week? you cannot do that. That's not building. So after all these years, I realized, it's not a matter of just the right teachings or biblical teachings. You need to have that kind of life. If you don't have the life, you're just a stone, a dead stone.
That's right.
Just as dead as the stones in the Old Testament times. Not any better, even worse. Because those stones never change and couldn't run away. But if I'm not alive, then I become fleshly stones. And fleshly stones create trouble in the church life. Division upon division. Controversy after controversy. Envy, strife, endless. No oneness. I don't think anybody taught concerning oneness more than we. You know, this time, the brothers in Bangkok gave me a call, and requested that I share concerning the oneness in this service conference. So I said, share about oneness in this conference. If you asked me to share about oneness 30 years ago, I can give you 30 messages on oneness. Today, I'm going to talk about oneness. I have nothing to say. Why? Because you can know all the doctrines about oneness. And at the end, where is it? I've seen so much fighting, controversy, division in the last 45, 60, 50 years. The first big division that I saw was in 1960, 61 in the Philippines. That was a big division that shocked me. And I was a young high school graduate. And then from that time on, again and again and again and again until this very day, I said, you asked me to give a conference on oneness. Lord, what can I say? What works? You tell me. What doctrine? Which book? Psalm 133? Everybody knows Psalm 133. John 17? Everybody knows John 17. Ephesians 4, be diligent, keep the oneness. Oh, you all know, right? Don't you know? Oh, yes, you know. So what do you want me to share? What do you want me to share about oneness? You tell me. I'm glad I didn't have the time to make an outline because I didn't have that much heart to make an outline. What am I going to talk about? So ultimately, if you have that life of oneness, you will never fight with anyone. I don't fight, quarrel with anyone. Who am I going to quarrel with? You don't want to. Just do whatever you like. Even the Lord cannot force you to be one. If you don't like to be one, what do you want me to do? Fight with you? You're kidding. I have something better to do than to fight with you. If we are not that kind of a living stone and we want to force us to be built up together, it's going to explode sooner or later. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, it's a time bomb. It's a time bomb set up to explode any time. And anything could trigger that bomb and bang, and all of a sudden, we've been meeting for 20 years, for 15 years, all of a sudden, overnight is gone. No, what is it? It's like an explosion of a volcano. I said, oh my, how can building be disappeared overnight? What happened? What is the building we're talking about? What is the oneness we're talking about? So I said, Lord, what should we do? So today I realize, no, we need a real substance of oneness. Right. Either we have it or we don't have it.
Amen.
And the reality is the living person of Christ. If you do not live him, I do not live him. You live yourself. I don't care what you think, what you know. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Like I said, nobody stressed the matter of oneness and building more than we do. Now, if you know anybody who talks about it more than we do, please let me know. Maybe they'll have a... they'll have the way. I don't know, but I doubt it. So, today, I only look to the Lord's mercy. Amen. Not just mercy on others, but especially mercy on me. Because if it doesn't work in me, it's not going to work in anybody else I talk. Just not going to work. And so I'm really wary of just talking about it, because I seek for the substance and the reality. Right. So here it says, as living stones,
amen,
you are being built up. Praise
amen.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at the Lord Jesus when he was here. He was really a living stone.
Amen.
The divine life, the wonderful life of God was in him. That's why he could be built up with Peter, who made a lot of mistakes. He could be built up with John and James, sons of thunders. He could be built up with a half-believer called Thomas, who doesn't believe that much. And he could be built up with not a very wise disciples called Philip. And after being with the Lord for so long, you didn't know who the Lord was. The Lord says, Philip, I've been with you for so long. You still don't know me. Philip says, well, what can I do? And the Lord could be built up with him. And most of all, the Lord could tolerate Judas. Not for one second. I know you're Judas. I'm going to hang you before you hang yourself. I'll hang you first. I'm not going to wait for you to hang yourself. I'll hang you first. The Lord kept him until the very end. Well, what a wonderful Lord. He is willing to be built up without much complaining, without forcing anybody, imposing. He was patient. He told them so many things, and yet they couldn't understand what he was talking about. Yet he waited.
Yes, yes.
He had that kind of a life. He didn't have the doctrine, but... And then at the end he prayed. He prayed for that oneness. And yet he had to wait for it. And you tell me, how long was he waiting for it now? How long now? After he ascended... 2,000 years he waited. He waited. You cannot wait for 20 minutes, 2 hours. You cannot wait. You're already so. Ooh. How come he still didn't get it? 2 hours. You're already. You should ask, how come only 2 hours and you can't stand it anymore? Wait for 2 hours. Because we don't have that kind of a life. So today, I thank the Lord for the truth that he has shown us, but I desire the substance. I said, Lord, make me such a person. I want such a life. Otherwise, it's not possible, I tell you. Otherwise, it's not, really not possible. So as living stones, we are being built up. And now it says a spiritual house. How do you understand a spiritual house? Spiritual house here is not in opposition to physical only. But spiritual means that it is spiritual in nature.
Right.
So if I do not learn to live by my spirit, and you don't live by your spirit, how on earth are we going to build a spiritual house? Spiritual is not an attitude. It doesn't mean religious. It does not mean in a spiritual realm somewhere in the sky. But it is very real. It means you must be a group of people who live and learn, exercise according to the spirit, like what Galatians chapter 5 says, walk according to the Spirit. And so Ephesians 2 says to be built up in spirit. And like what John chapter 4 says, God is seeking for those who worship in spirit.
Amen.
So if there's no such people, you can shout, you can scream, you can talk about oneness the whole day, I tell you, it's not going to work. I heard somebody gave messages on the genuine ground of oneness, but it was absolutely, you have the genuine ground, but no real oneness. Now, what's that? So what are we going to do about it? We touch this word. And yet we do not realize the importance of me and you and each one of us.
Amen.
Learning to live by the Spirit. For the sake of the young brothers and sisters here, many years ago, when I first found out I have a human spirit, my first question to the Lord is now, how do I experience it? I know my mind very well, so I use it all the time. I know my eyes very well. Now it doesn't function that great anymore like many years ago, but I can still see. I know how to use it. Now that I discover I have a human spirit, I ask the Lord, you show me, teach me. How do I live by it?
Amen.
How do I walk? How do I know it is the Spirit? And who's going to teach me? They're just shouting, screaming, "Oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord." Is that really the way? Or is there any other way? How come it's part of me and I have a hard time touching it? Why? I want to know from him, because I'm not just for a doctor. Oh, yeah, three circles. It's very easy to draw three circles. I'm an expert in drawing three circles, really. But I can draw three circles. What about that circle in me? That's the whole problem. And so ever since I ask and I pray and I tell the Lord, "Lord, I want to be one who knows my spirit, if it is really that important a part of my being, you help me to know it." Do you have you prayed that? Have you prayed? Have you ever seriously asked the Lord, "Lord, make me a person who really live by the Spirit. I want to know." Because without it, how are we going to build up a spiritual house? Yeah. Is it just having a nice meeting and go home and that's it? Is it a spiritual house? Listening to a message on Sunday morning and go home? Tell me honestly, wherever you came from, just going to a Sunday morning meeting and go home, is that a spiritual house already? Tell me honestly. Are you satisfied? Does it make you to be in the Spirit? Don't just say, "Oh, I just trust in the Lord. I touch nothing. I don't know anything. But I'm not sure, but I just believe it is." Well, you can believe all you can, but it must be real in your daily experience. I cannot say I'm happy, but I'm sad all the time. But I believe I'm happy. I'm very happy, but I'm sad all the time. You can believe all you can. No, faith in the Bible is not blind faith.
Amen.
We see by faith. Amen. Do you see? You see nothing. And then you say you're by faith, but you see nothing. Paul says we see by faith. By faith we see. What did you see? Nothing. If you see nothing, that faith is dead faith. It is not living faith. We walk by faith. Do you mean say you walk blindly? If by faith you don't see anything, please don't walk by faith. You're going to fall down. You're going to get into accidents upon accidents upon accidents. So it is very, very necessary for us to,
amen,
to touch the reality today at this age.
Amen.
Otherwise, how can you be faithful to God? No way to be faithful if you don't know. You can only be faithful by knowing what He wants. Then you can show your faithfulness. You don't deviate. You stand firm. You don't change. You know it is the real thing, so you're faithful. Then you can show your faithfulness. If you're not sure, you can never be faithful, because you're going to change tomorrow. Oh, you find out tomorrow it's wrong, so what are you going to do now? You're faithful to the wrong thing. How can you be faithful and change every day? So,
amen.
We are building a spiritual house.
Amen.
That requires that each one of us learn to live by the Spirit. And it's the best way to live. Much better than living in your flesh. Much better than living in yourself. You know, it's terrible to live in the self. But it's such peace,
amen,
life and joy to walk and live by the Spirit. Then you have peace with everybody. Yeah, praise the Lord. A spiritual house.
Amen.
And this spiritual house is not limited by time, nor space. Paul couldn't make it to the meeting, but you know, he told the church in Corinth, I'm there in spirit. I cannot be in the body, but I'm there in spirit. It is not limited. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And such a life, I guarantee you, is a life that is in constant communication. Constant communication, which is very, very important. A spiritual house. And this is why the Lord says that time has come. That a true worshiper, you don't have to worship in Jerusalem anymore, but in spirit. Because now it's a spiritual house. And in truth. And then it says here, the spiritual house is at the same time a holy priesthood.
Yes.
In the Old Testament time, the building, the temple, and the priesthood are separated because it's impossible. The temple is made of stones and the priesthood is made of people. Aaron and his son, the twain, are always separated. But in the New Testament, the priesthood and the house are the same.
That's right.
Right.
So on one hand, as God's dwelling place, it is a spiritual house, but as a priesthood, we are at the same time the priesthood.
Amen.
So it is not simple. You need a realization inside. It's no longer a doctrine. It's not good enough just to know it as a doctrine. Now, there needs to be an inward realization. If you have that consciousness and an inner realization, the whole church life will be different for you. Then if you're at home, you're still in the church life. So when you're there and you're here, you're there, you don't sense any difference. And when we are together, immediately we're the priesthood here.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And a holy priesthood. Because the God whom we are serving is a holy God. Holiness is for God very, very important. As we have seen in the book of Ezekiel, the whole place shall be called holy.
The whole mountain.
The whole mountain shall be called holy. Yes. How can God, who is holy, dwell in an unholy place? Right. Mm-hmm. If you move into a house of a hippie with all kinds of unholy things, and you paint a black and skull on the wall, and then smoking whatever, I don't know what, dirty, nobody cleans the house and it smells, you like to live there. Huh? Unless you're one of them. You're so used to it. Unless that is fragrance for you. There's a different fragrance. Would you be living there? I don't think so. Because of your nature. You're a normal person. You're clean. You're reasonable. No, you think this holy God, the house of the living God, can just be anything? You're mocking God. Then you really don't know God. Then for you, God is just God. You just have a concept of God, or you think God can tolerate anything. My house this morning, the toilet was plugged up. I cannot just leave it there, no. And of course, there's a meeting, so I just try to do something. And after the meeting, I had to go back and finish it, clean it up. Otherwise, I can't live there, so to speak. No, put it right. Because this is our dwelling place. Our dwelling place must be an expression of who you are and what you are. And God's house, a holy God. Go and read it again. Be holy because I am holy.
Amen.
This is what God says. So, we just say hallelujah for the priesthood, but we forget about the word holy. Nobody cares for the word holy. You just care for the priest. Okay, let's stand up one by one. You can stand up and share all you can if it's not holy. It's, God will not eat it. You know, what we brought to God as a spiritual sacrifice is food for God. It's written to prepare the sacrifices as food for God. If I give you a burned toast, whatever it is, would you eat it? Mm-hmm. Ah, you would? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay. Even if it's fully black?
Oh, then no.
Oh, no. Oh, properly toasted, yes, I love it. But if it becomes burned and black, it's not even healthy.
Yeah.
Because you, it is just...
It's poison.
Yes, it's poison. Exactly. We cannot eat it.
Carcinogenic.
And if you as a person, you are really, I mean, you know, you want to eat something that is tasty and healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Today it's not just a matter of tasty, it's a matter of healthy.
Yes.
Everybody's health conscious.
Organic,
exactly. Yeah. Organic. How much more God?
Right. Amen.
And who among the Christians ever thought of preparing food for God to eat? You tell me, have you ever heard God needs food and you are supposed to prepare it for Him? And it's a sweet aroma to Him.
Yes.
And who is doing that to satisfy God's heart's desire? Nobody. Really nobody. Sorry. It's not that we are boasting here. No, but I feel for Him. Because we don't sympathize with God's need. We thought He's God, and what can He need? What does He need from you? But in Leviticus, the offerings are food for God, for God's enjoyment, and it must be a sweet aroma going up for God's enjoyment. And this is what it says here, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable. Acceptable is not just, okay, I'll take it, you know, yeah. I'll put it in the pocket or in the freezer. No, acceptable means enjoyable there. He loves it. He wants it. It's a sweet aroma to Him. He enjoys it. It satisfies His heart's desire.
Right.
Through Christ Jesus, not through anything else. So, don't underestimate Peter saying he's a fisherman. No, I tell you,
yes.
A regular fisherman will not know how to write such a verse.
Yes.
It's impossible. He cannot write such a verse. Peter had a deep realization.
Yes. It's a living stone.
Yes, because that's his name, right?
Yes.
Peter. And for him, it's not just him as a Peter, as a living stone. Mm-hmm. Every one of us.
Amen.
Peter just renamed him to make him conscious of what he should be. So today, what are we going to do? What should we do? And here is the point of being faithful. Are we going to be faithful to that and get into it and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here to learn. Okay, teach me.
Amen.
Let the Holy Spirit teach me.
Amen.
I'm willing to change, whatever it takes.
Amen.
Enlighten me.
Amen.
Amen.
Teach me.
Yes.
Oh, or are we not teachable anymore? Are we? Are we already?
Mm.
Beyond what? Learning capability.
Mm.
Or maybe we don't care. Or maybe other things are more important for you than to satisfy God's desire. And you keep on saying later, later, after I finish this, after I finish that, after I have 10 children, and after my children grew up, and after that, I tell you, well, after your children grew up and have family, you can have grandchildren, then you're busy again with the grandchildren. Oh, especially with the grandchildren, I tell you. The grandchildren, wow, it's worse than having children. You're more attached to them. So when are you going to have time for the living God? Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Amen.
Really true. Now is the time.
Amen.
You know, we read in Colossians that in all things, Christ should have the preeminence.
Yes.
Nice doctrine. Does he really have the preeminence? Or other things have the preeminence? You know God's purpose, you know what he wants, but then you're caught up with so many other things. You say, no, I've been, my great-grandfather is there, and my great-grandfather is there, and my grandfather is there, and my father is there, so it's my turn. But although this is not what God wants that. What do you want now? Are you going to be faithful to your great-great-grandfather and your great-grandfather and to your grandfather? And what about being faithful to God, your real Father? Your heavenly Father.
Amen.
The eternal Father.
Amen.
Why don't we think differently today? Who saved you? Who created you? Who made you? Who planned all these things for you? Who owns this universe? Who paid the great price to redeem you? And why don't you listen to him? You know, somebody went to Spain 20-some years ago and told the Spanish saints, oh no, you all owe this brother everything. Owe to this brother everything. And this brother, he owes to that brother everything. So all of you now owes to that brother everything. This kind of a thought. And that brother is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That brother was supposed to be Witness Lee. And who does he owe everything to? You better continue. Go along the line, right? You better go to the end of the line. He's not the end. He's not Alpha and Omega. This kind of a thought. Why are we faithful to men and we are not faithful to God? We are faithful to tradition. What is there in tradition for you to be faithful to? Give me one good reason.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Right. So, in order to be faithful, you need revelation. If you don't see, then it's not possible to be faithful. But then if you see and you don't take it, then you're not faithful to him who showed you what he wants. But he will never force you. Our God never forces. Amen. That shows that he's so great, he's so big. If you have a chicken heart, then you will not tolerate anything. Everybody has to go according to your ways, and you will force everybody to go your way. But our God is not. God has a big heart. We're singing wide, wide, wide as the ocean, higher than the heaven above, and deeper than the deepest sea is my Savior's love to me. For me, it's wide, wide as a chicken heart. Narrower than a peanut inside. Something like that. That's my heart. That's why I couldn't tolerate anyone. That's why I'm forcing everybody to see the way I see, etc. No, God has no such a problem. You can oppose him, and you can, he won't do anything to you. How many people oppose God? Nothing happened to them. You see, there's no God. Wrong. It's just there's such a big God he could tolerate you. It's not that there is no God. So to be faithful,
amen.
Yes,
is a wonderful virtue.
Amen.
I would say the most important virtue for one who serves God.
Yeah.
Right? I think you all know 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go there to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required, it is required.
Yes, required.
If you want to be a servant, then there's a requirement. Not that, it didn't say, and it is required in stewards that one be found capable. Diligent. No. Who can think by himself wise. What does it say, Sarah?
Faithful.
Is faithful that important? What is more important? Capable or faithfulness?
Faithful.
Really? How about wisdom?
It says faithful.
Faithfulness, to do exactly what he wants you to do. Just follow simple instructions. That's good enough. That's good enough.
Amen.
Right. Oh Lord, to be faithful is the greatest virtue of a servant. If I could only do whatever the Lord wants me to do in a simple way, just do it and that's it, I will be very happy. Yeah. So, to be faithful. On one hand, it seems like very simple, but on the other hand, I tell you, fallen human being cannot be faithful. Yes, you can be faithful, but not to the Lord. You're faithful to sin. You're very faithful to sin. You are a good slave of sin. So sin tells you to do it, you say, yes, sir. You just go and do it without waiting. You just go ahead and do it. But when the Lord tells you to do something, you are always, I'm not very sure, Lord. Are you sure? You sure it's the right thing? And I don't understand. I don't understand. So, our flesh is not faithful to the Lord. It cannot be.
Yeah.
neither possess, neither can it be, because we are not obedient to the Lord. The flesh cannot submit to the Lord. Right. And so that is why in Leviticus chapter 1 we have the first offering called the burned offering.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the burned offering.
Amen.
Leviticus, it's really wonderful. It just started with the offerings, because the offerings are the very basic concerning Christ. All of these offerings are talking about Christ. And this first offering shows us that Christ is really the faithful one.
Amen.
Who is 100% for God, Amen. One with God, and well-pleasing to God in everything.
Amen.
There's never been in the history of mankind such a man. So he came to this earth not because of you and me in the first place. You know, we have many songs that says, Christ is for me. Christ is for me. He died for me. Everything is me. I am me and myself is for me. And only Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Right? All the songs. Right? But the Bible says he came for God.
Yeah.
Why? Because when God created Adam and man, he created man for himself. Man is not created for mankind. But God made man in order to gain man for himself, to carry out his great purpose in this universe. But after man fell, man is no longer for God. Not only he's no longer for God, he became an enemy of God. He's opposing God. He took the side of the devil and he opposes God. That's why today people don't believe in God. Well, if you don't believe in God, that's fine. Why do you oppose him? And then why do you kill those who believe in God? And there's no God anyway. Let him believe in no God too. There's no God anyway. So what if he believes in God? Just let him live. Why do you have to kill them? So, man, you have to realize how much we are fallen. Don't just say the atheists are like that. But we, the believers, in many ways we oppose God. Do the Catholics believe in God? What about what they were doing? It offended God to the uttermost. And yet they believe in God. So are they for God or are they against God?
Against God.
They speak the truth. They are against God. They are against God. So many things in Roman Catholicism. So much darkness, I tell you. So we need to know Christ as one who is absolutely for God, because we were not for God. So the Lord has to come in our place to become a human being that is 100% for God. And this is very important to fulfill God's purpose, because Adam failed. Human being failed. Even we Christians failed. Look at Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Even the Lord spoke to the churches himself in Revelation chapter 3. They did not repent. They did not turn. You tell me, are they for God? Churches, huh? Churches. What are we going to do? And we ourselves, in the last 40 years there? Where are those people who say they are for Christ in a church that I heard many years ago, right, Mary? My wife and I were there. Where are they today? Are they for God? Are they really for Christ in a church? At the end, it was exposed that they are not for God, they are for men. And for something else. If you're for God, you would rise up when you see something is terribly wrong and really so obvious before your eyes, and they could not even stand up to say, that's wrong. So my question is, who is for God? Who is for God? Where are those who say they're for Christ and the church? Where are they today? So, fallen human being, our natural fallen being, we are definitely not. You believe in God, yes, but not in everything. Not in everything. You only believe to save your skin, because you don't want to be thrown into hell, you don't want to burn there, you don't want to be barbecued forever. You want to be saved from eternal judgment, and it's free anyway, so why not? But apart from that, you don't care what God wants. You oppose him all the time. He says no, you said yes. He said in one church, you say why? What's wrong with having so many? It's not a matter of what's right, what's wrong. It's a matter of what he wants. Hey, the church happens to be his church, not yours, okay? We're not obedient. There's so many things we do that are not scriptural, even opposing to the scriptures, and yet we think it was all right. So what are we going to do? So, the first offering right here in Leviticus is not sin offering, not because you're sinful. Your first problem is because you're not for God. And God needs someone that is for him.
Amen.
And you and I are not. So what are we going to do? You like to play, you like to go cruise, you like vacation, you like this, you like everything else, and put God's purpose at the end. If there is any space left. Time and space. And if not, sorry. Sorry, that's too bad, God. Your turn hasn't come yet. Let's see if somebody canceled out. Maybe you'll get a slot. We don't put God and his purpose in front of us. That's our problem. That is why the Lord has to come and be the burnt offering to satisfy God's desire. This is why God could declare from the heavens right after his baptism and declare to everybody, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
Finally, there is someone on this earth with whom God is fully satisfied and well-pleased, who is 100% for the fulfillment of God's purpose.
Amen.
He didn't come to do his own thing. He came to please the Father. He was fully obedient. Even to the death on the cross, it says in Philippians chapter 2. He lowered himself. He emptied himself. He became a servant. He obeyed God to the dot. From the time he was born to the time he died on a cross, everything was done according to God's word.
Amen.
You need to appreciate such a person.
Yes.
Why? Because you and I are not such a person.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. We're just not that person. So we need to take Christ
Amen.
As our burned offering.
Amen.
Lay our hands on his head.
Right. Yes.
And identify ourselves with him.
Yes.
And that's why Paul says, for me to live is his Christ. Otherwise it is impossible for Paul to be like that.
Right.
Now, God has given us not just a sin offering. Sin offering and the last two, they are the tail offerings. This is the head offering. We put the tail, the first and the tail, and the head, the tail. We just are conscious, oh, I'm sinful. Oh, forgive me, Lord, otherwise I'm going to be punished, right? But even if you're not sinful, so what? Let's say you're a great guy, you never sin. No smoke, no drink, no movies, no dancing, no nothing. You're a great guy. You think you're like that, you're for God? So our number one problem, remember this, is that after we fell, we lost our function. We are no longer for God. We are incapable of being for God. Even if you want to, you cannot, because your life, there's something wrong. There's the poison of Satan is injected into our being. That is why we need this offering, number one offering. Here is someone, because I cannot make it, he came to replace me,
Amen.
To be for God.
Amen.
And I have to now learned to take him as my life, to lay my hands upon him.
Amen.
To say, Lord, I want you to live this life in me,
Amen.
So that I can be like you, to live a life that satisfies God's heart desire and to fulfill God's purpose on this earth today.
Amen.
You need to pray that. If you want to be a faithful person, a faithful priest toward God, then you need to pray this prayer, Lord, I take you right now and every day as a burnt offering. I want to live a life that satisfies God's desire to be for God's purpose, to be one with him, to be well-pleasing to him. And without you, it's not possible. I want to exercise my spirit of faith to take you as my burnt offering, that every part of my being, spirit, soul, and body, my emotion, my will, my mind, will be more and more for God's purpose. Without knowing Christ as such, an offering prepared by God for me, so that I can live such a life and prepare this offering back as food to satisfy the Father. What are we going to do? And who is doing this? Tell me. Who does this among the Christians group today? You answer that question. Who cares about that? And that is why the Lord is waiting. He's waiting. And he doesn't have much time to wait. So at the end of this age, if we among the churches, although not too many, right, including Africa and Europe and some of the Southeast Asia and here and who knows where else, if we don't do it, I don't know who's going to do it. You ask Christians to see if anybody cares for Christ being our burnt offering. What are you talking about, burnt offering? They wouldn't know what you're talking about. So, and to live such a life, the Lord didn't live an easy life, because to be for God, my, you're gonna stir up all the power of darkness is going to rise up against you. We're living in hostile territory today. The power of darkness will be rising against you, plotting against you, and all that, everything. Will be used against that.
Lord Jesus.
So may the Lord really open our eyes.
Amen.
Open our eyes.
Yes.
Amen.
To have a deep realization, Lord, open my eyes and show me Christ.
Amen.
As the burnt offering, that every part must be offered up to God.
Amen.
As a sweet aroma for his enjoyment. In this offering, nothing was kept as any part for the priest except the skin. The skin is the covering, because Christ will become your covering to cover you. Meaning to say, when God sees you, he sees Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right. We can put on Christ.
Amen.
We can put on the robe of righteousness.
Amen.
The garment of righteousness. We can put on the new man.
Amen.
We can, after baptism, right after baptism, Galatians says, they who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Yeah. This is very good. To be one with him, to become fully one with him.
Amen.
This is the first offering that we all need to do. And this has to do with Christ being the faithful witness to the Father. In Revelation chapter 1. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who is the faithful witness. And that point is toward the Father, because he only came to satisfy the Father's heart's desire. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ the faithful witness. Praise the Lord. Because when he came to this earth, he fully expressed the Father. He was fully one with the Father. He finished what he came here to do according to the Father's will. He accomplished God's purpose. The faithful witness. The faithful witness is toward the Father. The firstborn from the dead is for the church, according to Colossians 1. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, that's for the nations. But for the Father, he is the faithful witness to fully accomplish God's will on this earth as a man. He was faithful to the death, and nobody could stop him. And nobody could distract him. For us, it's so easy. I gave you $1 billion, you're already fully dead. Deadly distracted. Yeah. Just a little bit of gain, and you're already distracted. So easily drawn away. Or just a little offense, you're gone. Yeah. Somebody offend you in the church, goodbye, nobody sees you again. Or a little problem, and you're gone. And you disappear into thin air without a trace. You're gone. Nobody knows where you came from, where you're going to. Nobody knows. So easily just drawn away. We are not faithful. We are not really faithful. So we need to lay our hands on the Lord, say, Lord, I identify myself with you.
Amen.
I want to be one with you. I want to be baptized into you, to enter into this union with you, so that you, Lord, can live in me and I live through you.
Amen.
For the fulfillment of God's purpose. God is my witness. Every time I eat and drink of this table, I told the Father, the reality of this table in me should be, I will live by Christ for the fulfillment of your purpose today on this earth. Amen. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, but this is my desire.
Amen.
This is my desire. Otherwise, why do I still live on this earth? Why are we still here? If we are still here for ourselves, then we are living in vain. After the, what did Peter say? The vain manner of life that you got from the tradition of your fathers. It's a vain manner of life. We have to be redeemed from the vain manner of life, because this is really vain. You can have 10 doctor degrees, so what? You can be a millionaire, so what? You can have 20 cars, but you can only drive one car at a time. You can have 20 Rolex watch, but you cannot gain 1 hour more, an extra. I joke with somebody, wow, what a watch for 50,000 something. One time when we were somewhere in where were we? I forgot now. Were we in Malaysia. I think it was in Malaysia or something. I said, if that watch can give me an extra hour a day, 25 hours, then I'll pay. But you pay so much, you can steal 24 hours. Forget it. It's worth nothing. Yeah. Right? If you can give me a watch that can make my day longer, I'll buy it. Even 100,000 I'll pay. But if it cannot, then I'll settle for a $20 watch, because it's the same. Right. What advantage? It'll just corrupt your heart and then draws you away from God and from God's purpose. What for? Really, is it worth it? One day, when the Lord comes back, you will realize, my, I was so foolish. I'm so foolish. Why can't I really give to God what I should really have given? My life came from Him. He made you. And then after you fall, when you became fallen, He saved you. And then He gave life to you, became your father, and He was going to make you heirs of all things, and you don't like it, and you live a life that has absolutely nothing to do with Him much. You know, if you consider this matter, Christians just going to a meeting 2 hours a week and are satisfied with that. Think about it a little bit. What do you think? Even if there is life, 2 hours of life, how about that? 2 hours of intensive life. Super life, 2 hours.
2 hours a week out of 7 days and 24 hours a day, and you give him 2 hours, the rest you just live a vain life. One day, no wonder, when the Lord comes back, you are going to really be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know why? Because you will really hit yourself back for how foolish I am. How come I live such a terrible life while I was on this earth? You'll be beating yourself black and blue, I tell you. Because you'll be, you say, how stupid I am. I'm stupid. You'll be spending your 1,000 years there calling yourself stupid me. Because it really doesn't take much, and God doesn't demand much from you today. He's not an unreasonable God. And yet we will not give to him what belongs to him. But this burnt offering will cause you to be a person who will be focused for God's purpose. You're focused on your sins and you're, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I'm terrible, oh, this and that. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I did it again. Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, I take your precious blood. Oh, Lord, oh, I failed again, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you, you're so merciful to me. Oh, thank you for your endurance with me. Oh, thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for, thank you, thank you. But you don't live a life that is for him.
Right.
You're still in the same frame of mind. This is the problem with us. That is why, although we all say we love God, yet we live our own life, we don't care for him. So, the first and the foremost reason why the Lord came, in Hebrews tells us, and Psalm tells us, is behold, I come to do your will. That's it. A body hast thou given to me. For what? So that I can live happily ever after. No. A body thou hast given to me so that I can do your will. To satisfy God's desire.
Amen.
That is the burnt offering that I need.
Yes.
And as we shared also in Cupertino, God knew that sometimes it's hard for us to really jump right into it. So there are many sizes, different sizes of burnt offering. You can get a bull, or you can get from the herd, from the male lamb, or a goat. And if you say, Lord, I can't even do that, well, you can bring a turtle dove. You can catch a turtle dove. A dove, right? You know, in Europe they fly around, in the States oh, they fly around. And sometimes, by the Lord's mercy, they fly into your window. You don't even have to raise them. But if you offer a dove, you don't get any skin because there's not much skin in a dove. How are you going to put on a dove? Maybe a head covering. But nevertheless, God will still say, okay, at least you brought a dove. But if you bring nothing, that's not good. So start with a dove, it's okay. Start with something small, it's okay. The good thing about this wonderful God is that he knows our needs and he knows our weakness.
Amen.
So if you would just even bring a dove, you don't have to bring a bull right in the beginning, just a little dove. God will accept it.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
But I hope you increase it to a goat or sometime later.
Yeah,
right. Well, why not?
Yeah.
And until you grow and the spiritual life, the inner man becomes stronger and you gain Christ, then you can bring a goat. And from the goat you can bring a sheep, right? From the herd, and then you can bring a bull. Such a burnt offering. So you can see how merciful God is. So you can tell the Lord, Lord, be patient with me. Let me just bring you a little of the burnt offering. But at least you have to bring a little burnt offering. That's why, you know, they have doves there for sale in the temple. You know, who mentioned about a dove? You did,
right,
yeah.
Right.
It's very convenient.
Yeah.
And it's not that expensive. You want to buy a bull, that's expensive. That's a $1 dove. Okay, how much is $1?
Okay.
You can buy a dollar bull. That's not possible. So people just sell it. That definitely doesn't count. God knows. Don't try to trick God. You know, don't trick him. But we should genuinely, out of your heart, you tell the Lord, Lord, that's all I can bring. But I bring it wholeheartedly to you. In a little way, I want to be for you. Please accept my dove as a burnt offering, and the Lord definitely will accept it. That's what it's written. So do not give up. Say, oh, I cannot bring a bull. Forget it. I'm not coming anymore. Oh, don't do that. Please don't do that. And if you don't have a dove, please come to Stefano, somebody, go to Emery. Says, Emery, do you have a dove to spare? Emery says, sure. Emery will help you with a dove. But what I mean is this. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Amen.
As long as it is a dove, just bring the dove to the Lord. Even if it's in a small scale, bring it. You remember the Lord gave how many talents to the one? 5. And to the second one? 2. The third one? 1. So even 1 is good enough. Just don't bury it. You have to bring it. If you bury it, that's not good. Right? So don't say, I'm so hungry, I'm just going to slaughter it and eat the dove myself. No, don't do that. You just fast a little bit and bring that dove to God in a small scale. Don't bury it. Don't look down upon it. Don't think it's too small. Does not matter. You bring it to God. You remember that widow, how much money she brought?
2 mites.
2 mites. What is that? But
all what she had.
That is from her heart. God doesn't look at just the amount.
No.
Right. So, don't despise it. Whatever we can bring everybody together, bring whatever is there, then you will see we all share the riches. Because on one hand, we are individuals. But on the other hand, we are one body.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Right. But we all need to realize here, to be faithful, I need to know Christ as my burnt offering.
Amen.
Yeah. And that's the first one. That's in the first place, on the top spot.
Amen.
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 Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh,
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord Jesus.
Amen.